You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. In the name of Jesus.
Father, we bless your holy name. We give you praise. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your move in the body of Christ in this season and time. Thank you because your presence is ever abiding with us. Thank you for the glory that the church of the last days is sustaining. Thank you for access into mysteries of your word. We ask that the heart of men are opened and there is illumination. Your word will come like rain and will shift our base. Everything looking like strongholds will melt out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we're praying. Now look at the book of Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. I start the reading from verse 8. Luke chapter number 1 from verse 8. If you are there, say amen. Luke chapter 1 verse 8. Once when Zacharias the vision was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 10. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, standing at the right hand side, the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the heart of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel in verse 18, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years." Verse 19. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happened, because you did not believe my word, which will come true at the appointed time." Now this is a very powerful and strange scripture. A man was standing in the presence of God, burning incense. And the angel of the Lord came from heaven, standing at the right hand side of the altar, and said to him, "Zechariah, your prayers have been answered." Now, what was the prayer of Zechariah? A priest was standing before God. That was his duty. One who was standing before God offering incense and sacrifice on behalf of a people waiting outside. And the Lord sent his angel, and the angel stood and said to him, the Lord has answered your prayer. Now, the Lord will give a son, and his name shall be called John. He will not be the normal kind of man. He will carry the Spirit of the Lord. Particularly, he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. And many will rejoice at his birth. He will come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. The power and the what? Spirit of Elijah. So this tells us, hold on. When Elisha was asking for the spirit of Elijah, we did not know what he was asking for until we saw John. The spirit of Elijah is a dimension that bridges the old with the new. The spirit of Elijah is the dimension that sustains mantle. It is a unifying, a spirit of agreement that makes sure that the heart of the fathers is turned towards the children. So the spirit of Elijah is a spirit that brings oneness into the oneness from those that are hungry to those who are carrying what they want. In Malachi chapter number 4, God was speaking to the Israelites. He said, before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord, I will send to you again Elijah the prophet. He will turn the heart of children to their fathers and the heart of fathers to their children, lest I smite the earth with a curse. So it is a spirit that makes sure that dimensions are not wasted. Hallelujah. So he said, John will come in this spirit and he will turn the heart of many unto the Lord. So we understand that this apostolic move, it is an apostolic move, is such that the way the mantles will be sustained is that the heart of people will be turned to the Lord. Now, lest the earth will be smite with a curse, meaning that the moment there is a gap between men that have walked with God with a track record and a generation that is emerging, where the works of the fathers are not recognized, the picture of that environment will look like a place that is cursed. So Elijah, John now will come in this anointing. Already we have had 400 years of silence, but he will come and break the silence. Elijah is a breaker of silence. He came and there arose Elijah the Tishbite. Nothing was said, he just came. So this dimension is a dimension that is tough. Listen, this apostolic dimension requires toughness. It takes a man that is tough in the spirit to break years of silence over a generation. And this is why it was said that he will be great in the sight of God. So when he comes, he will come in the spirit, the hunger, the desire of this dimension of Elijah. And in the power. And he will do great things. Stun people. Particularly, he will prepare their heart for the coming of the Lord. Now, look at it. Zechariah answered, how can these things happen? I'm advanced in years. And my wife is not young. And Gabriel said to him, I am Gabriel. That's before the Lord, therefore, you will not be able to speak until the day this is fulfilled. Hold on. The way Gabriel spoke, we saw that there's something about the presence of God that gives authority that we don't know yet. Gabriel did not say according to the word of the Lord. He is speaking here as a man who has understood the dynamics of the presence. I am Gabriel. And what do I have to boast? I stand before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, you will not be able to speak until the day this is fulfilled. I'm going to teach about the practice of the presence of God. What is this thing that makes the presence of God a special reality? What is this thing about the glory of the Lord? What is this thing about His presence? Now, I understand that many believers have tasted the anointing of the Lord from afar. But few, just few, have been able to gain admission into the glory of the Lord, the presence. You get what I'm saying? Now, let me say this to you. I've come to see that you might pray for 5 hours. And yes, you are not able to penetrate into His presence. You can't bribe your way into God's presence. Amen. You can't what? You can't bribe God. Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel." This is my introduction. I stand before the presence of the Lord. Let me show you a scripture. I want us to look at the scripture. Let's look at the book of Revelations, chapter number 4. Revelations chapter number 4. After this, from verse 1, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this." Excuse me. You don't find men who have been to the presence of God speaking with exact words. It has never happened. If a man tells you he has been to God's presence and he has exact adjectives to qualify what he has seen something else, not the glory of God. There is no language sufficient available to man that is able to define the slightest thing of His presence. As a matter of fact, in the presence of God, God doesn't communicate to you in English. English is too small and too weak to carry the depth of what He wants to communicate. And this is why when you speak, God understands all language. It is not like He listens to your language. He understands your thought. Heaven has nothing to do with language. Heaven relates with thought. Such that you are speaking and God can. You see, in heaven, the mode of communication is perception. The perception you trivialize here. You stand before an angel and the angel can. You are thinking it is responding. So God understands all language because the thought of man is a unified language. So God listens to your thought. And when He wants to speak, He communicates to your thought. This is why the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, with which He searches the inward part of the belly. So God relates a thought-to-thought relationship. He communicates with it. Then your spirit relates with your soul, which brings interpretation in languages you can understand. And sometimes you notice that though the interpretation of something has come, but something tells you in your spirit, man, it is heavier than this. Have you been there before? You got a revelation. Now, the reason why you know you got a revelation is because it has been conveyed to you in a way you can understand. It is revealed unto you. But most times, it is deeper than you think. Until you start giving yourself to meditations on those things, you will not understand the robust nature of it. There is no sufficient human language to describe anything about the glory of the Lord. No sufficient what? Human language. He said, "I heard the voice of one speaking to me. It was like trumpet." The same Jesus that He related with on earth, He was hearing the same Jesus. And He said, "The voice I heard is like." He didn't say it a trumpet. The only thing I can use to describe what I heard is a trumpet, according to what is available to us here. So, now, can you imagine the voice of one sounding like a trumpet? It is deeper, you know, than what you think. But for you to understand, because this is a message delivered unto Him, this message must be relayed back to you. Now, the only way you, the reader, can understand is that this voice irrespective of what it sounded like that day, the only way you can understand it is that the voice sounded like a trumpet. And the voice said, come up and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald, encircled the throne. Now let me read from King James translation so you can understand the struggle it takes. This is the reason why men who truly have got something from God need utterance to communicate it to you. Listen, utterance is the best language to convey divine mystery. It is supplied by God. You get what I'm saying? Utterance is the best language to convey divine mysteries. It has nothing to do with eloquence. It has everything to do with what men can understand. Now, look at it. In verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit and looked, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The one who sat on the throne looked like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne there are 20 and 4 seats. And upon the seat I saw 24 elders, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their foreheads crown of gold. Look up. I saw the throne. Now, the throne John was talking about itself is bigger than the earth, because the one who sat on the throne makes the earth his footstool. And he said, round about the throne I see 24 seats, and the people on those seats, they are elders. Now, what communicated the fact that there are elders is not because they had white hair. No, sir. What communicated the fact that there are elders is that there is a divine communication to him without anybody having to open their mouth. He knew these are elders. He saw the throne. What communicated to him that round this one on the throne looked like a jasper, a sardine stone, an emerald encircled this? Listen, no one was giving him the details of the architecture of this room. It was a divine knowing. In the presence of God, you understand God as the Father of all light. It is a progressive journey of knowing, such that you will know, having none to teach you. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. That reality is best explained with the presence of God. You have an unction from the Holy One. Therefore, you know all things. That unction is the atmosphere of his glory. He stood, saw the throne, and knew one seated here. One of the things that looked like this one was made up of is like a jasper. I'm also seeing what looked like a sardine stone. What looks around the throne is an emerald. These guys I'm seeing here, the 20 and 4 seats, they are elders. The picture of Revelation chapter number 4. God wanted to reveal to John what will be, but he had to first start by showing him what is. The 20 and 4 elders round about the throne is a number that must increase, because they had crown of gold. Crown is a symbol that these ones had lived on earth and they had overcome. So it showed that I'm not here to teach about what qualifies a man into such stature, but whatsoever it was, as at the time of the revelation of this, they were 24. And they cast their clothes. You get what I'm saying? They cast their crown. Now, this knowledge came to him by divine knowing in the presence of God. One of the practices is divine illumination. You know as you are known. Let me show you another scripture. Exodus chapter number 24. Let's look at men who were able to gain access into the presence of God. And let me say this to you. The struggle to try and do things and do in the kingdom, the struggle, I've been struggling with doing this, I've been struggling with doing that. The struggle dies a permanent death when something is revealed from the throne of God. Let me tell you this. sin can die permanently in your life through one thing God reveals to you. Permanently. You want to do it, you cannot. The light of God's presence is invasive. It invades a man. Let me give you an instance. For example, if someone has cancer at the early stage, probably stage 1 or stage 2, in most cases, depending on the location of the cancer, you can still use radiotherapy. Meaning that light rays can be passed, you know, and then will go down to the cells, or probably the tissues are affected, and then destroy the cancer cells. You get what I'm saying now? Now, this is a fragment of what, just a little way to illustrate the kind of things that happens in the presence of God. Look at Luke 17, verse 17. Jesus was saying, he said, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Now, in John 6, verse 63, look at what he said. John chapter number 6, verse 63. Turn your Bibles there quickly. Now, you join this scripture with what Jesus said in Luke 17, and you'll be amazed. If you are there, say amen. Now, he said, the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth, he's saying that there is a quickening spirit that is in the word. And this quickening spirit is not just a word spoken, it is alive and it is light. Meaning that it can enter into you and damage the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. So, Exodus chapter number 24. Let's see something powerful. Exodus 24. People of God, you cannot pretend about being in God's presence. The event of your life, the way you conclude, the depth, your gravity of understanding of things. There are things that reflect people who truly know the presence. When you see a man who knows God's presence, you may know the same thing, but with different depth. Different depth, different understanding, different weight, different gravity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, Exodus chapter number 24. Now, let me start from verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, you, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye me afar off. And Moses alone shall come nigh the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up. Now, the Lord was giving them instructions about their location in God. Now, if you go from that verse 1 to, let's go to verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, okay, let's go to verse 6. And Moses took half blood and put it in the basin, and half of the blood of the sprinkled, he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient. Verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And said, behold the blood of covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning these words. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. Verse 10. And they saw God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, paved walks of sapphire stones. And as it were, the body of the heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles, of the children of Israel, he laid not his hands. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount, and be there, and I will give you the tables of the stone. Now look at this place, it's very illustrative. God gave them instruction. I want you to come and tabernacle with me. Moses, come, and three priests, then the 70 elders. Let them stay according to the jurisdiction they can handle. You alone. And when they went, the Bible says that God revealed himself to them. When they saw God, they saw under his feet and said, this is the clearness of the heavenlies. Under his feet looked like a jasper, his hair. There was a divine knowing. You see, and something communicates the knowledge of that which you are seeing in the presence of God. It is sometimes, hold on, this revelation will come. You know things in the presence you cannot articulate with your words. It shows that they are passworded. They are revealed to you, but their dispensation is not now. You understand what I'm saying? There are things, mysteries you can learn. You can be taught. You can sit down. I teach you certain things. You will hear them. They will bless you, edify you. But when it comes to preach them, you will embarrass yourself. Because you will hear them, but they are not for your lips yet. They are coming with passwords. The world is not too ready for them. And if they are ready, you have not prepared yourself as the man to convey those mysteries. Now, when it comes to them, what you see in the presence, it has to be served fresh. You cannot hear what you heard another man say. You may say it, but the power backing it up will be absent when you are talking. Do you get what I'm saying now? Very important. And they saw God. And certain things began to happen. The Bible says that they ate and died. And God did not lay his hands on them. Why? They've not seen anything yet. God later spoke to Moses. He said, you come up. It means the higher you go, the more you see. The higher you go, the more you see. Now, Moses went up. God said, I want to give you certain things you should write. And Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days. And by the time Moses was coming back, he had seen something. And when Moses was returning, the same men who would have been boasting that they saw God could not see a man who had gone higher. No revelation is conclusive. What you have seen is according to your level. The higher you go, the more you see. You may have seen certain things, but men who have gone further sees more. You can't comprehend the men. Do you get what I'm saying now? And Moses went up, saw a new level of glory, returned. None could stand him. They had to bring clothes to cover his face because no one could see a man who had seen God. But something happened. Moses said, God, go, not let us go until your presence go with us. At some point, Moses said, Lord, why would I keep moving with you without you showing me who you are? Reveal yourself to me. And God said, no man can see me and die. Meaning that Moses, despite all you thought you saw, you have not seen enough because you are not dead. And God said, I will cover your face and hide you in the cleft of this rock. And I will make my goodness pass. And the Bible said that he saw the backside of God. He saw it immediately. Genesis was downloaded immediately. Without anyone writing anything in the Garden of Eden, he knew all that happened accurately. No one could better relate that story than the Holy Ghost himself. All this came as a revelation that was instantly downloaded in the spirit by seeing something in God. One thing in God you see can make you a wonder for life. Just one thing. And we must understand this. So there is no room for a man to come and say that I have seen all there is to be seen in God. The moment your conclusion is like this, it shows that you have stopped seeing. Man recognizes the fact that he knows when he stopped knowing. The recognition of more comes when you are still in the process of knowing. Do you get what I'm talking about? And the Lord revealed himself to Moses. What did Moses know that the Israelites did not know about the presence? Because the Bible says that God revealed his ways to Moses and his act to the Israelites. The act of God can make a man come to church. Only his ways can make you stay with him. Such that we can have people coming to church, coming for meetings, because of the heart of God they have heard. That God can heal diseases and take away poverty and infirmities. He can do, those are his acts. But the ways of God, he reveals to men who care to know. He reveals it to Moses. And Moses understands that, listen, there is something about this God that people think they know yet that they don't know. He had seen different dimensions. And his face had to be covered. None in Israel could comprehend him. A brightness shone in his face that was than the noonday sun. Something deeper than men could comprehend. This same brightness was what Paul saw on his way to go to lay waste of the church, on his way to Damascus. Something came from above, struck him. Where did Paul learn to call Jesus Lord? The moment he saw that light, there was a knowledge downloaded in his spirit that this one who brought this dimension is Lord. And anyone who calls him Lord shall be saved. Now, meaning that he needed not that anyone should win him to Christ. When he saw sin, nature died permanently, and he called him Lord. No one taught him. He said, who art thou, Lord? Paul, Jesus was asking him, he said, Paul, why dost thou persecute me? And he said, not who art thou this thing, who art thou, Lord? When you see the glory of the Lord, you identify. Listen, you will not understand the revelation of God as the Father of all light until you come to his presence. In his presence, light shines. Illumination comes. Things are revealed to you supernaturally. Excuse me. This is why there is a lot of difference between men who are anointed and men of the presence. I have struggled for a long time to put difference with them. What is the difference? Because men who are anointed can do certain things and you can compete for the presence. One of the ways you know men of his presence is that they stand before you and they look like the portals of knowing is opened. Your limitation, what you are knowing, is not limited to what they are saying. Their presence opened books. Have you been in a meeting before that a man of God stands before you? You are hearing beyond what he's saying. It is like as he's saying, many books are open and light is entering different aspects of your body. In the presence of God, this is where we have this kind of light. You might be anointed to share a mystery, but to break portals open, you have to be a man of the presence. Why is this so? Ministry is beyond what you are saying. If you will have to say everything that will solve the need of the people, you will talk for life. Ministry is that you will sustain a level of glory that when you stand representing God, God can now show up on the account that there is a man carrying him. Show up and begin to illuminate them beyond the limitation of what you are saying. Irrespective of the utterance you have, what you are saying is limited. It's the Holy Ghost that can reveal. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, the elders, I didn't know what would have happened to them that day. They must have gone back home, basking and sharing with their families. This thing Moses saw, we have seen it. You know, we were not surprised after that event that these same people were the ones saying, Moses, you are not the only one who can hear God. Eh? We are not the only one. We have seen something too. And God said, who amongst you that calls himself a prophet has heard from me, except that I have spoken to him through dreams and vision? But who amongst you is like my son Moses, my servant Moses, that I speak with face to face? There is a place in the camp of the Israelites called the Tabernacle of Meeting, meaning that early in the morning, the whole nation will wake up and they will stand looking at Moses, a man of the presence, standing afar off, and he will stay at the door of the tent, and the cloud of the glory will touch down, descend, and they will watch him. And Moses and the one in the cloud will hold hands and together enter into the tabernacle. It is when the presence of God is revealed that man fears God. You will not know that God is to be feared until something is revealed to you. You think the presence, you see, let me say this to you. There are dimensions of God's presence that will be revealed unto you that if you are not taken away from them, you might die immediately. Let me share a revelation with you. I think I shared this with you. Of the day I was praying and asking the Lord to reveal himself and his glory, praying in the church, locked myself up, and the lion came. I fell into a trance and I saw a small white lion walking from the podium, walking towards me. But as it was walking, it was becoming bigger, powerful. The lion was walking as though there are over a million lions escorting it, but I wasn't seeing them, walking with majesty, and walked towards me. But I noticed as this lion was coming, it was becoming bigger. And as the lion stood in front of me, I was looking at the lion like I was looking at like story buildings. And I saw something. In that vision, something was conveyed with this lion that was not the normal thing you see in church. It was deep. It was strong. I knew divinely, if I stay here for a minute, I would be dead. And I ran out in the vision. I woke up from that trance and I noticed there was a glory around me. This is not the kind of thing you see that makes your hair stand. This one, your life wants to leave you. No man is designed to wield this kind of thing. This is the presence, not an anointing. And I stood. There is someone here. I couldn't see with my physical eyes. I ran away. While I'm running from that place, a man touched me from the back, an angel, and said, look. And as I look, he opened a book. And as I was reading the book, I entered into the book to what I was reading. Where can you see that on earth? That a book is opened unto you, but as you are reading, the same book is playing out. Not just that it is playing out, you are participating in the event, being there. Something is revealed to you about the future. You are reading it, but you are there. While you are there, it is palpable. This is a dimension in God. You can't fake it. These are not just visions. And I was saying things. And I understood what Paul said, that I knew him, whether in the flesh or not, he was caught up to the third heavens and he saw things that are inaudible, that are not right for man to say. Meaning that in the presence of God, There are certain things that will be revealed to you automatically in his presence, depending on the depth you can build. But the earth is not ready for them at that point. And that's where I'm going to. Because many people have been praying that God will reveal his presence. This is the reason why one thing opens door of access. Every other, it is the highest ranking, highest thing you can have in the kingdom. It is called the key of love. We have heard about love, but you don't know what love is. This is why love is what opens door to the supernatural. Love is not a feeling. It is not about men who think they feel something good about God today. When there is a job, they sing and rejoice. And when the job is not there, you know, they sing different kind of songs that look like they are good. No, sir. Love is a constant. It's a revelation. Write it down. Love is a revelation. There is a reason why it has to be love that will open this door. There is a reason why it is not zeal. But it ought to be zeal. Amen. Why is it love? There is a reason why it is love. Let me show you a scripture quickly. 1 John chapter number 3. If you are there, say amen. Now look at it. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Look up. What is this thing about love that makes God says that by this shall men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another? If you look at the book of Galatians 5 verse 22, don't worry, Galatians 5 22, when the fruit of the Spirit was being mentioned, the first one is love. And I've said this to you, looking at the love first mentioned, but that's not the case here. Love was mentioned because love is what gives birth to the rest. When we read the account of Timothy, when Paul was speaking to Timothy about the works of the flesh that were made manifest in the last days, the first thing he said is that men shall be lovers of themselves. In Galatians 5:22, the first thing he's saying here is that love is the first fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are two different things. First love that was described in 1 Timothy is not love for God. Men will love themselves. This was the mistake the enemy made, the devil. He began to love himself and he was corrupted. I've seen many Christians talk about self-love. Self-love is a love that brings corruption. The best way to truly love yourself is to have this love for God. Do you get what I'm saying? The love for God is what preserves a man. Love for God. Why is it that this thing about love opens strange door of access in the supernatural? I have noticed that Christians who struggle with loving their brothers, they struggle with revelation of scriptures. Check it out. Those who struggle, they have people in their heart they have not forgiven. They claim to love God, but their heart is not tender towards humanity. Doors of access is not given to them. The best way to show you love God is that you love his children. God doesn't joke with his children. I shared a story with you of a woman that was walking in Texas, entering into Walmart. And as she was about entering, she heard the voice of God saying to her, this homeless man at the door, he loves banana. Buy him banana. And then she was thinking in her heart to buy him chicken. But God cared so much about him that God had to communicate his best food to a daughter. This is how much God loves his children. Until you come to that point that you know that in every man you see, there is God in them. And God is seen usually at the places you least expect. His glory is saturated usually around people who are not highly placed. When you walk in this recognition, you will begin to see God in humanity. Even when someone offends you, you can see God in their heart. That there is a devil here trying to clog this image. When you start seeing like this, you begin to see into his glory. No man who is walking
walking in hate or disdain towards humanity can claim to know God. No, sir. It is not that you will not know God or you have not known God. It is that doors to know him will not be open until there is love. Love is what shows to all forces that there is a man we must respond to. When a man walks in love, all forces of revelation respond to him. God, the doors of the supernatural opens on the account of love. When a man has come to hold this key, listen, to every man that Jesus healed, compassion flowed from him. There is no compassion without love. Many of you are praying for healing anointing. It is not flowing through you because you want to have it in your archive that God has used it to raise the dead. But this is not the kind of love that can restore humanity until your heart is concentrated on the fact that no man in God's image should be ridiculed in death and sickness. This man has to respond to God because I care so much about a man that God has made. This is the kind of love that births miracles. So there are many people who are claiming to have received impartations from different places. And they try to operate certain things. And God has weighed their heart. What this one wants is a record. This one is not really interested in the kingdom. He wants something that will be added to his CV. That, listen, some years ago, God used me to heal a man of epilepsy. That is not the kind of love that can bring the glory down to help humanity. Do you get what I'm saying now? Why is love this mysterious? What is this thing about love? By this shall men know that you are my disciples. When you have love one for another, the sum total of all the laws given to Moses is that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your brothers as yourself. Papa. He that knoweth not love knoweth not God. He that knoweth love knows God. It means when there is love, access, mysterious access into the depth of God will come. Listen, love is that which enables you to build the kingdom with the right material. Love is that which enables you to build the kingdom. Have you noticed that when you are in love, you are subjected to the one you love? Everybody can do something else, but when you come before them, they say something small and just breaks you. And you are so, wow, overwhelmed. You get what I'm saying? Do you notice that you feel pain based on your level of proximity to people? There are certain things that people will do to you. They are not close to you. You are not bothered about it. But someone who is close, you expect them to know better. True or not true? Love increases expectations. But listen, what is this thing about love that God puts it at the door that shields humanity from himself? That only men who have owned this key can enter. You can fast and pray. I have seen this in the lives of Christians. You can fast and pray for years for a dimension of God and not see it. Because God has seen your motive of your heart, that you are only seeking for this dimension for yourself. You are self-seeking, not God-seeking. You can be seeking God, but yet you are self-seeking. Listen, God is too big to be revealed to a man who is seeking himself. Sometimes we say, I've been praying, I've fasted, I've entered this life. Love God uncontrollably. But you must understand that we love him because he loved us first. So this kind of love starts with acknowledgement that I am here. I'm having this drawing and this longing towards God because he extended his love for me first. Meaning that you will not love God adequately until you catch a revelation of his love for you. John the Beloved was the disciple who was said never to taste death. But he entered that dimension. You see, every time he speaks, he will say, and the disciple that God loves, and the disciple that Christ loves, and the disciple that he loves. Meaning that it is important you catch a revelation of his love for you. It is deep. When you catch this revelation of his love for you, it opens you up to receive his love. Many of us are loved. We love God with our heart, but we are not open to receive his love. You can't help yourself like that. Receive it, accept it, catch the revelation. Understand that we love him because he loved us first. Hallelujah. We love him because he what? Loved us first. Catch a revelation. Look up. One of the things that revelation of God's love does to you is that it proves you against deception. You will be deceived until you know how much you are loved. This was the mistake of Adam and Eve. The devil came to Eve and was claiming to give them something better than what God has given them. When you not surely die. For you to rebel against God, you must have doubted his love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Catch the revelation of God's love. Everything. Let me show you scriptures. Let's see. Let's look at the book of Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Watch out for people who are busy loving God. They don't ask for encounters. You are making a mistake by asking for encounter. What kind of prayer is that? You ask that God will help you love him more. You ask for your heart after God. In Psalms 42 from verse 1, the Bible says that as the deer pant after water brooks, so pant my soul after you. Check for men who are loving God. They are not asking for encounters. God delivers encounters to them. Encounter is not what you seek for. It is what God gives you when you seek him. You don't seek for it. You lock yourself in a room and you're asking God, show me an encounter. You will see demons. Now look at the Psalms 24. From verse 1, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. The word pure heart is a big word. You will not understand it until you see what Jesus said about it in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? For they shall what? See God. What does it mean to be pure in heart? It means that your heart will be single. Purity is singleness. Your heart will be what? Single. My heart is not divided. I am doing everything I'm doing because I love God, not because there is any other ulterior motives. Blessed are those who have this singular mind. When they have it, they will see God. Why? When your eyes is single, your entire body will be full of light. Blessed are they whose heart is pure. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that has a clean hand and a pure heart. Purity of heart, singleness of purpose, it's a key in the kingdom. You cannot do without it to gain more access to God. You cannot do without it. Let me say this to you. You cannot come as a point as a believer that you have people you are not treating well and yet you claim God. It's not true. You can't cheat the process. I watched a video a while ago and I think it went viral of a woman that went to eat at the restaurant. You get what I'm saying? And then she was eating with her children. And then their house girl was standing seated somewhere eating gala and drinks while the rest were eating fried rice. God ate things like this with passion. According to God's mindset, if you do this to anybody, you have done it to him. You cannot treat anyone unjustly and yet claim to love God. I've seen many places, some churches, there is a center where house girls will stay. Those ones, they are not looking too well because the seat is for those who are paying huge tithes. If you have a place like that, and that environment, run away. Start worshiping where those girls are, for that is where God is. Ah, yeah. Sometimes we build our big tabernacles and it's not there. It is those who are lowly in hearts, those who are of a contrite spirit, those whose heart is not lifted in haughtiness, they are the ones that God will tabernacle himself amongst them. Revelation of God tells you certain things about him. God is concerned about the smallest of his creation. What it means to love God is deep. You want to pray for somebody who is sick, there is a depth of compassion. You think compassion is being moved to heal? No, sir. Compassion is that you come to a point that you can almost heal the sickness and you want it to go now. Then the anointing to take it out is released to you. You see people do certain things. You see places where people worship. And sometimes they don't have all it takes. They don't have all the gadgets to bring that sound to God. But they give him a praise from the depth of their heart, sincerity of their heart. Somebody is crippled and yet worshiping God in that crippled nature. Someone is blind, singing songs. These are true worships. One who comes blessing God for the things he has is doing plenty things. That is not worship.
Worship remains constant, whether it is there or not. It's a constant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When you start knowing deep things about God, it occurs to you, God's love for humanity, you cannot fathom it. In John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Is that a joke? Whosoever God loves that make him give Jesus for that fellow, and you claim to be against the fellow, is that not a joke? God loves a fellow so much that if that person was the only one alive, Jesus would have still died. And yet you claim not to love them. Check, watch those who are not walking in love. They struggle around deep things. God himself will make sure that doors of revelation is shut against them. Key of that access is love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, why did the Father of all light barricade himself behind a veil that only men who truly love him can enter? Do you know that loving God does not mean God is selfish? You will only help yourself by loving God. When God says that you must love him, he's not selfish. But he knows every instruction God gives you, just instruction, because of the benefit they will have on you first. If you have access to divine mysteries without loving God, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You are done for. You are in trouble. When Adam and Eve fell, one of the first things, one of the consequences that God related to them, God said, and people think this is a curse, it's a blessing. He said, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and her seed. Better for us that there is enmity placed there divinely between you and the devil. Abba. If that was not them, humanity is lost. It means the devil will just be waiting for them to step outside of the glory. It then was not a place. No. They were not driven out of an environment. What are you saying? Something was taken away from them. Access into another world was closed. And that's why it was angels with flaming sword that guarded it. Eden was a place that balanced two realms. Just like when men said that they were building the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was not a tower that deals with height. God did not cancel their language because God did not scatter their language because they were building something tall. No, sir. You cannot build something tall into heaven. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so is my thought higher than your thought. The distance between heaven and the earth is like the distance between a dead man and a living man. The distance between a spiritual man and a carnal man. You can't measure it in kilometers. So the Tower of Babel was not a building they were building in meters or kilometers. No. It was a trans-dimensional building. Building into another dimension. It was not a tall tower. It was a tower of incantations. A tower of sorcery that will help them enter into the spirit world. So that if humanity should try, this man will be lost forever. You will encounter spirit that will deceive you. In the spirit realm, what balances you and make you safe is your knowledge of the word, particularly of Jesus as the word. Because if you get there, many things will come and claim to be Christ, but they will deny his lordship. In the spirit realm, you must understand this. And God saw that these men have not been balanced. These men have not been exposed to this. It is better. Let's cancel their language. And they were saved. Amen. So in the Garden of Eden, the moment their love for God was choked, something happened. Immediately, access into the glory was taken away. Why? When a man stops loving God, the next person he starts loving is not the devil. The next person he starts loving is himself. And that is the dangerous one. Look up. The devil was Lucifer. What made Lucifer become the devil was self-consciousness. It is more dangerous than anything you think of. Amen. Amen. Before Lucifer, the morning star, ended up becoming the devil, all he started seeing was himself. It means that the greatest opposition and threat to love for God in your heart is not the devil, it is yourself. You will love yourself so much that everything, every deception the devil comes to bring to man, he brings them to man on the account of what man stands to benefit. Let me give you two illustrations. The devil told Eve that if you eat these things, you will not surely die. God knows that the day you eat these things, you will know things, right? You will know both good and evil. And Eve saw it, and she said, she perceived in her heart that this is a fruit that is pleasant for the eyes, and such that one could desire to make one wise. Now, everything she was seeing was not about the devil, it was about herself. On the account of the benefit it brings to herself, she submitted to the deception of the devil. True or not true? Now, in Luke chapter number 4, when the devil came to Jesus, he showed him the glory of this world, and he said, I will give it to you first, if only you will worship me. Meaning that the devil will show you what benefits you first, before he tells you what to do. So loving yourself will make you cheap. Accepting what the devil is giving you as a shortcut, meanwhile, you sell off your love for God. What makes a man ally of the devil? Really, is self. The devil does not have anything in himself that commands people to love him, not to. People love him on the account of what they stand to benefit. Amen. On the account of what they want, stand to benefit. So the moment a man comes to a point that what he loves now is himself, it is important that mysteries of the kingdom are shut away from him. Why? In the presence of God, the default reality is that God is the Father of all light. What does this mean? It means that in his presence, let's bring it like this. Hold on. The presence of God is a journey into light. And this light is not about illumination in terms of brightening up an environment. This light is in terms of knowing. God being the Father of all light talks about God as the custodian of all knowledge. God as the what? Custodian of all what? All knowledge. Now, you will see the account of Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Anywhere God wants to start a thing, the first thing he introduced is light. This light was not the sun. This light is Christ. And that's where we are going to. The light is what? Christ. Let me show you a few things. As you start praying, it gets to a point that prayer becomes a flow. True or not true? You notice that, listen, energy of the flesh has been suspended there. Now you are praying by the energy of the Spirit. Now, a time comes, you notice that you are in the presence. What how do you notice? One of the things that shows that you are in God's presence is that the economy of His glory is what sustains you, though on earth you are raptured. Meaning that one of the things you will see is that you lose consciousness of time. You are conscious of time because of corruption of the world. Something tells you time is not on your side. You are either pursuing something or something is pursuing you. In the presence of God, there is no haste. There is no what? No haste. This is why a man can be raptured in that glory and
and he will think he's dead for 3 hours, but he's been dead for 30 years. There is no haste. When you read about men like Babalola, what God gave to him was an invitation to his presence. Babalola could fast 40 days and stay 40 days. He didn't know he was doing anything too serious. He saw something. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Now, when you break into the presence of God, you notice time is suspended. Then it is like automatically something is being downloaded in your spirit. According to human timing, you might just be there for some days, but you notice that that thing can make you a mystery to your world for the rest of your life. Meaning that the light you can get from God in nanoseconds of men can change your entire generation, even to the 10th one. The presence of God is rich. The presence is what? Rich. When you stay in God's presence to listen to mysteries, you will come back with a wonder. It is rich. Stop cracking your head for revelations. Stay in His presence. Amen. When you stay in God's presence, revelation becomes different. Hallelujah. Amen. You are reading scriptures and scriptures are coming alive to you. Things that happens in His presence is that man is raptured into glory, though on earth, but heaven has descended. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse 10, when Jesus was teaching how to pray, from verse 8, 9, citing how to pray from verse 9, but in verse 10, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Your kingdom come doesn't mean that God will come here and come and start struggling for political platform. No, sir. Your kingdom come is that there will be men that will arise, and by the strength of their hunger, heaven will be brought to earth on a constant basis. And the earth will be trapped. Now listen, one of the things that happens to a man that knows God's presence is if he's a minister and he appears before a people, by the time he's leaving, he will bring them to a point of equilibrium with where he's coming from. It is different from the anointing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, let me say this to you. When a man is anointed, you get what I'm saying? The anointing of God is powerful. For example, Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's powerful. True or not true? In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "You shall receive what? Power. After the Holy Ghost had come upon you." Power is necessary. Power is powerful. But the presence of God is invasive. You cannot establish the kingdom without His presence. You cannot. When you dwell in God's presence, things that men live their lives to know is downloaded to your spirit in space of seconds. But we are still looking at this mystery, this wisdom of God, makes him use love as the barricade. That when a man learns to hold this handle of love, God will begin to open depths and mysteries unto him. I want you to turn your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. If you are there, say amen. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Now look at this. "By the grace of God given to me, I have laid the foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care." Each one should build with care. Look up. Why should each one build with care? There are certain things that God will reveal to you because
because you are in his presence. But those things are not material for building the body. They are material for personal consumption. So you can enter into something. If you try to communicate this thing to the people, their level of configuration due to growth is low. And when they hear these things and understand it not, like the parable of the sower, Jesus gave us a very serious key. He said, the seed that fell on the wayside is like them that heareth for the word, but understand it not, then cometh the devil. Meaning that you are not to give the body what the body cannot understand. And listen, understanding will only come when the body is ready for that dimension. Do you know that scriptures are open to you in different ways? One, when you press. Two, when the body is in the season. Certain scriptures will come alive only when the body is in the season. We have been reading these things, but life had not entered it. When the season comes, the life will enter. And it will be quoted. And men's eyes will be opened to it. And we can start partaking of the fruit. Glory to God. Now, God will begin to reveal certain things on the account of your intimacy with him. These things are not for you to share. They are for you to become a wonder. They will build certain depth of conviction. Everyone will come around you and they are wondering, why is this man strange? Why is he like this? The material that made him this is such that God is not allowing him to share yet. Until the body is ready for it. It takes a man who loves God to obey this kind of instruction. Meaning that this man loves God so much that the body of Christ is a concern to him. That when God says that this one is for your consumption, he would rather obey God and not choose. The reason why people share scriptures, revelation that they themselves probably don't understand well, or that it is not the season for it in the body, is because they want to feel like an important man. Builders who build without care, they are building because they want to look important. But God looked at people. He said, on the account that this man is dead to himself. When God was speaking in John 3 verse 16, that Bible was saying that for God so loved the world, the proof that he loved the world is that he gave his only begotten son. The proof that Abraham loved God was that he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. The proof that you love God is that you too will climb on the altar. It is from there God will say, having done this, it is time to enter into glory. Ought not Christ to have died and suffer before he enter into his glory? When you accept this as a default setting, you have climbed the altar and you are not ready to be known or ready for anyone to see you and feel you are one person important. Once you have come to this thought, once God knows that the devil cannot get you in this area, irrespective of what we reveal to this man, the desire to want to make anything of personal gratification for him is no longer there. When God sees this, on the account of this, he sees a man who is not ready for it. God doesn't reveal to you what you are not dead to. This is why a man will never enter into the dimension of prosperity as long as money is his Lord. But the moment the man dies and God starts killing you to certain things by giving you instructions around them that will take their desire from your heart. When Abraham wanted to slash the throat of Isaac, God said, don't touch that young lad. Don't touch him. Now I know that you fear me. When you love God, what God sees is that you revere him. Abraham was ready to kill Isaac. And God saw. You know what Abraham did? God saw a man that is ready to do what only him will do, giving of his only begotten son. And God says, on the account of this, I swear by my name. This is why God respects sacrifice. And sacrifice sometimes can embarrass covenant. It's a mystery. It's a very serious thing. The very same. Many people boast on the fact that you have covenant hanging over your head. No. You must learn from the story of the king of Israel and the king of Syria. They were in a war together. And when the king of Syria saw, was it Syria or the Moabites, saw that they were being defeated, he took his son that should mount the throne in his stead. He slashed his throat and sacrificed him. When God saw a sacrifice, he moved to the weightier side. Sacrifice is heavy. This is why Jesus had to enter the cross. Because no other sacrifice can be bigger than this. No other man can be bigger than God himself dying for you to be redeemed. It's the biggest sacrifice. But
But we are now to follow after this in book of what's it called? Romans chapter number 12, from verse 2, from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It is when you become a sacrifice that you enter into glory. And God starts showing you things. Because you see, the presence of God is a school of light. It starts showing you. There are certain things you see. The next response you have is excitement. Because you are still in the realm of knowledge. When you enter into the realm of understanding, your response will be prayer. God is revealing something to you. Before, you used to be excited. You want to jump around and share with someone. Now God reveals the same thing to you. Now with a depth of you understanding the intent of God as touching this, you hear those things and you break down. And you look at the world and you are perplexed. You think you know the meaning of body. Body is what happens to a man when he knows the weight of God's mind towards a thing. It is not a gift. It is contacted in the presence. Meaning that God will reveal certain things to you. You hear what I'm saying now? And you cannot be normal again because God has revealed this. But listen, already what brought you here is that you are a man who has sacrificed many things on the way. Those things you have to sacrifice is so you can be saved and the kingdom can be preserved. Man, this man must be a man who does not lift up his soul to vanity. He that has a pure heart, he that there is singleness of mind. His mind is singular and all that this one ever wants is that the kingdom be established. Coincidence. When Jesus said, my will, my meat is to do the will of my Father, mean that I am single. All I ever wanted, all I want, all I will ever want is that the will of the Father. When a man comes to this point that he begins to reason like this, his thought, his heart is single. All he wants is that the will of God is established. When God reveals things to this man in his presence, because he has moved beyond wanting to know, he is a man who wants the will to be established. God knows when something is revealed to this one, he will wait for the will of God as touching it. Because some things, it is the will of God for you to know now, but not the will for you to hear. God knowing that he is obligated to keep revealing to you when you come to his presence. Make sure that the only way you can have access is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. You will love him that irrespective of what he reveals, you will never come to a point where you want to do anything out of self-gratification. You will not wander out of his presence. Let me say this to you. When God gives you some small things and he gives you the knowing that it is not for now, and you enjoy the fresh air of going about and talking about those things, you are cutting yourself short. You are cutting yourself. You are showing to God not to show you classified things of the kingdom. Classified things. God, listen. In the book of John, chapter number 1, from verse 8, John, speaking by the help of the Holy Ghost, said he came to his own, but they knew him not. But to as many as received him, even to them that believe on his name, to them gave he power to become. God will give you more materials to become than more materials to teach. Let me tell you one of the dangers of revealing out what God is giving you for kingdom consumption. Have you ever seen a man whose kingdom is planning a war, and then he goes to the camp of the enemy and tells them, see, we are planning something in our kingdom, and this is the strategy we want to use? When you do those things, you are leaking out the strategies of the kingdom. Now, God is the Father of all wisdom. But when you reveal certain things that is not for the body, you are also exposing the body to attacks. Anywhere there is no understanding, demons will enter.
And many of us think we are trivializing the things that God is showing. Because you think they are small things. Talking anyhow is inconsequential. Doing things anyhow is inconsequential. And we, all you want to do in your life is to go somewhere and look like a man who knows much. No, sir. This is why pride is what happens to a man when you come out of the presence. When you come out of the presence, what happens to you is that you begin to know what you know. It occurs to you that you know certain things. But you know something only when you are not in the presence. You will know there is much to know when you are in the presence. Humility is the fruit of God's presence. It is a journey, as the presence is a journey. The more you know, the more you are broken. Isaiah had been prophesying, woe to this nation and woe to that. But he said, in the day that King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. Then said I, woe is me? For I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. When you see truly the way you should see, you will know your misery. You start praying differently. You can't come out and then say, listen, I do this more than all of you. Right? Listen, I pray for 6 hours. Because you don't know what you are saying yet. The more you stay in God's presence, the more you know that flesh cannot glory in that realm. Everything that happens there, they are all paid for, sponsored by the economy of God, carried out by the Holy Ghost in the beginning. How can you boast? And that's why Zechariah 4 verse 6 says that this is the word of God unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor what? Power. But what? By my spirit, says the Lord. Everyone in God's presence, they are divinely assisted. Do you think these mysteries that are being shared, they are a function of you knowing how to read scriptures? No, sir. They have to be revealed to you on the account of trust. You can study the Bible from now till the next 50 years, and yet God still withholds certain dimensions to you, from you, because you have been weighed, and it has been clear that you are a man with a very good speech, but not a clean heart. You don't have a singular motive. Our motive must be united with that of Christ, that the kingdom will be built, that the kingdom will be established. The first prayer he taught them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. To do things according to the will of God is to build with the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is trapped in his will. Access to wisdom is not saying fine things. No, sir. Anywhere the will of God is, this is wisdom. So when Solomon said in Proverbs 24 from verse 3 that true wisdom is a house built, he's saying that nothing can be built except it is done by the will of God. By the will of God. Amen. The will of God. So the presence of God is a robust place where there is continuous progression, continuous journey, continuous illumination. To that same book of Luke that we read, Luke chapter number 1. What did Gabriel know about this presence? Gabriel wasn't speaking as a man who was guessing here. He was speaking as a real representative. True or not true? Talk to me, true or not true? Yes. Now in verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. He introduced himself. Listen, I am Gabriel. And you know the word El there is God. From the word Elohim, Michael. Alright? Not all angels have that word at the end of their name. No, sir. Not all of them. Now these are angels that are majestic. You know, I hear believers sometimes say that I have seen an angel, and then they just say laughing. I was praying in my room one day. I sat down and then leaned my back against the wall, sat down on the floor, and while I was seated, I was praying in tongues. I was the only one in the room. My eyes were shut, and the Lord opened my eyes and saw a big angel seated beside me, the same posture I took. He took the posture, sat down, and his head was shooting out of the ceiling of the house far above, and was looking around. God said, I am with you as a mighty, terrible one. I was afraid when I saw it. I was returning from a ministration in Benin Republic, coming from Lagos, between Lagos and Ibadan. In the night, around 11 p.m., we were supposed to have an accident. And everyone had been shouting. Somehow we escaped the accident by the help of the Lord. And immediately I was caught up. And the Lord took me back to the same scene. And I saw an angel stood. And he turned the two vehicles like toys, that they will not have head-on collision. All these things happen in a speed that is away from your own knowledge. You call it coincidence. Coincidence is what men call things they can't explain, the mysteries behind it. It's not coincidence, no, sir. There is a God who is round about his children as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Sometimes you notice that certain things have happened that should kill you, but the Lord shows up and you are rescued in a way you can't understand. That's the mysteries of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I saw this angel and I was afraid. Everything in the presence of God is not describable. You need help. This is why you are truly a man of revelation if you are a man of prayer. What prayer does is that prayer helps you to bring it from that solid, unexplainable state to a point where they begin to melt in your heart, that there are few words with which you can describe them. And sometimes, even like in a message like this, you are describing things that you know that these things is more than this. But yet, people are still shouting and like, wow, what is this? Meaning that the little they can get is still a mystery. You hear what I'm saying now? You are truly a man of depth if you are a man of prayer. Prayer is what helps you convert depth into utterance. The ways of God are past finding out. You cannot understand them. They are mysterious. You need to be helped to understand His ways. Hallelujah. Now, if you notice the book of Galatians 5 verse 22 still, after love was mentioned, the second fruit, which is the first product of love in the sequence of your relationship with God, was joy. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is beyond what you think. Joy is like a door. You will enter through love, but you will begin to receive true joy. With joy, we draw water from the wells of salvation. That is deeper than you think. Now, why is joy a very serious thing in the kingdom of God? Joy is that which makes you a constant. Let me bring it another way. Hold on. Joy is different from happiness, though they have the same emotional response, the same emotional resemblance. But happiness is without root. It is periodic. It is determined by situations. Joy has a root, and the root of joy is the constant nature of God. Joy stands as long as God is constant. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Joy is a constant. Irrespective of what you are going through, joy is a constant. Why do you need joy as a believer? Because in this world, you will have tribulation. And while all those tribulations are going on, in the midst of your lowest time, that is when you can draw the greatest mysteries and the wisdom of God. You will not be able to draw them if you don't have joy. Your situations, your pains will be wasted without joy. It is joy that gives meaning to them. Listen, joy is what shows you the wisdom behind your situations. Let me explain better. It is not a feeling. All the things you have gone through in life, the ones that brought tears to your face, you need to be in this constant called joy. Conceive wisdom right when you are going through fire. Because there is a posture of heart you have towards God that is not determined by this situation. So though there is a shaking, but it's like you are encapsulated away from this shaking. You are in the midst of this fire, but not gone. So, but because it is happening, you can see all the process and yet find out the wisdom of God behind them. You now occur to you that in the midst of man's lowest state in life, that is where you have the richest dimensions of God. Without joy, you can't draw water in your low moment. Amen. I said, Amen. The presence of God is deep. It is rich and powerful. Listen, the way the natural world is made is such that it is an event. It is a world whose event is going according to the sequence of forward reactions only. You can only press play if you are walking in the natural. You can't go back to the past. But if you are a man of the presence, God can. Come on. God can. He can. Amen. Amen. Let me give you an instance. I was praying for someone who had an incurable disease just a while ago. And the first question I asked her is, or was, when the Lord was revealing to you visions of your future in your heart, did you at any point see yourself as a man or woman living with a disease that can be cured? If no, it means you don't have to ask who has done this. We know an enemy has done this. And on this authority, we can decree that any tree the Lord has not planted will be uprooted. It's a revelation. Meaning that, listen, on the account of being in the presence of God, you have made mistakes in the past. You can't go back there. But God, you see, the reason why God can do everything is because He is Alpha Omega. Both past and future are the same. The same way you can alternate something that wants to do now, you can correct anything tomorrow. How can God tell a man, draw yourself away? The day you become proud to me, I will wipe yourself away from the memory of men. If you can't go back to the past, can you wipe memories? No, sir. You can. The moment you are exposed to the presence of God, you will be exposed to realities, things. Sicknesses are not healed spontaneously. There is a default arrangement for everything that happens in God. They are revelations. They don't come the way, you know, this one just happened. God chose to heal this one. There are certain things He has laid down that if you know these things, if you do them according to this, this dimension will move, sir. Huh? You must understand that. Because if you think the other way around, you will not be available to be used for healing of the sick. Because you will always say that God is not willing to heal the people today. The presence of God is rich. The presence of God is deep. There are mysteries there. But much more than all these things, God wants to have men who love Him enough to stay. They will stay and He will help you to flesh up revelations in His presence. You will begin to know beyond the ordinary. You will not stay on the surface. You will not know that which helps you to boast. You will know that which the Lord is doing. And the next desire you want, God, what area can I be used as a part of this work? Love for God. You will enter into His presence when you have learned to hold the handle of love. Amen. And you will be sustained in deeper work through love. But if you notice what Gabriel was saying here, we saw that one of the realities of a man in his presence is authority. Authority is not shouting.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.